The new Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review is out now from the State Department. It is the second ever review from the agency. It's similar to the Quadrennial Defense Review from the Pentagon. Gordon Adams is a former OMB official writing about the new QDDR for Foreign Policy magazine, and he calls it pretty unambitious. Gordon, it's great to have you back on the program. Why do you think the QDDR is unambitious? Thanks for joining me today.
Well, I think they had some real issues getting the first one underway and getting it through, and discovered that the job of reforming the State Department is harder than anybody thinks it is. But in addition, you're really at a point in time where you've got 2 years left on an administration, and getting ambitious about the kinds of changes that you can make is an awfully hard exercise to pull off. So I think they pulled in their wings a little bit.
I mentioned that the QDDR is not the same as the QDR, but similar. You write about the differences. What are those, Gordon?
Well, the biggest difference is, keep in mind that when the Defense Department does a quadrennial defense review, what they're interested in is how they align their forces with the strategy. So they spend a lot of time talking about strategy and goals and objectives and strategic planning. State Department took a kind of a different tack. They decided that their quadrennial diplomacy and development review is really about capabilities. What are the capabilities that the Department, State Department and USAID need to have to deal with world challenges? It's not quite as ambitious on the strategy side.
You write that the root of this might be the very first one, not the one that just came out last week. The first QDDR, you write, missed a great opportunity for fundamental change. What did the first one miss, and has that been continued into this one, Gordon?
Well, it's not only been continued, I think it's probably been accelerated. The first QDDR had some real opportunities to change things like the way we recruit and train and promote and employ our ambassadorial staff, to give them a much broader set of skills that are appropriate to the new world of diplomacy, where you're worried about development and governance and things that ambassadors historically have not been as concerned about. They had a good opportunity to restructure some of the organization, decide once and for all what USAID's relationship would be with state. They kind of ducked on that one. They had an opportunity to unify the planning process in the State Department. They ducked on that one. There wasn't a lot of institutional innovation. Institutional innovation is really hard, but when you've got somebody of the stature of the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and all the political oomph at the beginning of the administration that she could bring to bear, they could have bitten off a great deal more than they did in the first one. This second one is significantly even less ambitious institutionally.
You get at the idea of some of the reforms that a lot of people have talked about as necessary at the Department of State, and you've already talked about the training of Foreign Service officers. I didn't see any mention in the first nor the second QDDR of any of the concerns that the American Academy of Diplomacy and the American Foreign Service Association have about the convergence of the Foreign Service and the Civil Service. You also write in this piece in Foreign Policy that the QDDR didn't even discuss the reality that the United States has far too many foreign assistance programs, and that's certainly something that's drawn the attention of Congress over the last couple of years, above and beyond the dollar amount involved, just the diaspora of directions that the money goes, right, Gordon?
It's probably the biggest challenge that the foreign assistance community faces in the United States. We probably have five or six major organizations and another 8 or 10 other organizations. And frankly, almost every federal department does some kind of foreign assistance. Centers for Disease Control, Department of Justice, Environmental Protection, you name it. Everybody's got an international program going. There is very, very inadequate coordination of those programs, no centralization of strategy, no real definition of strategy across the government. What that means is we have a pretty scattered civilian approach to our international engagement and a pretty focused military approach, and you can guess where that might lead to in terms of the weight of the two institutions in determining policy.
Gordon Adams, writing in Foreign Policy magazine about the quadrennial diplomacy and development review just out from the State Department. And to your credit, Gordon, you don't just take shots. You have some potential solutions here. And one of them is making governance a mission and building the tools. And this jumped out at me in particular, Gordon, because it's an issue that we see not just at the State Department, but all across the executive branch, and that is the governance, the day-to-day keeping the trains running on time, is not sexy and therefore doesn't always get the attention it deserves.
That's right, and it isn't seen as sexy internationally in our foreign policy. One of the biggest challenges, well, in a sense, the two biggest challenges that we have right now internationally, you see them every day, is weak and fragile states, states that are corrupt, states that need assistance just in order to become more effective and more efficient and more accountable, let alone democratic. And we've got another big challenge of having security institutions in those states, the police, the military, justice system, border guards, paramilitary forces, all those people, corrupt, ineffective, not able to do business very well. And both of these are two of the major foreign policy challenges that we face. The problem is the State Department has not asserted its oversight of security assistance programs to develop a strategy. And the State Department has not made governance in other countries a central part of the mission. If you want to have development or security, you got to have effective, efficient, and accountable governance. This QDDR puts the language out there, and that's a good thing about making governance a priority, but it doesn't develop the capacities of the State Department and USAID to have the trained people and the trained programs to actually make that strategy effective. So it's a kind of good linguistic loaf, but it doesn't get us down the road to policy.
And you write to that effect, there's nothing here as basic as saying the department will revise the standards it uses for training and promoting foreign service officers to include knowledge of governance and the ways in which the United States might focus its assistance agenda in that direction. It sounds to me like you're saying you don't see anything here that indicates that the U.S. State Department's policy will be to teach its people how to help people govern themselves and teach those skills when they get into these places where those skills are necessary and then get out of the way.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a critical challenge. We're about 75% of solving the State Department's problems, I think, is what I call an HR problem. It's about who you recruit, how you train them, what you prepare them to do, how much mid-career training you give them, what you incentivize them to do. Do you take people hinting up to an ambassadorship and make them do 2 or 3 years of duty over in development work so they understand it, or in governance work so they understand that, or over in the Pentagon so they know how the military operates? The way the Foreign Service is structured and recruited and retained and trained and promoted does not incentivize that broader skill set, which is what they encounter now when they get out there in the countries that they represent the United States in.
Silver lining in the cloud, Gordon. You write, the QDDR is pretty good about the progress made on strategy planning and budgeting over the past 6 years. There's actually a functioning foreign assistance budget process. It even includes planning at the embassies. That struck me as pretty good news.
It's actually a lot of progress. It's really, that's one of the big pieces of progress. It really predates the first QDDR. It goes all the way back to, frankly, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice creating a foreign assistance budget planning office in the Department of State. Didn't exist before. I'm sure people are somewhat surprised to hear it. And it actually has instituted a process for foreign assistance that begins to look like some planning going on here, and that's a very good thing. The piece they're missing is that they still leave all the administrative infrastructure and overhead and communications and IT and personnel policies and pay and benefits and all that stuff is handled in a different office. So they don't have an integrated capacity to actually take the whole budget of the State Department and USAID and make it walk to a plan that is a strategy fully developed.
And that's kind of ties back to my comment earlier about governance as we project outward. This is governance projected inward as to how we manage the day-to-day efforts of the organization, whether it's a State Department or a grocery store or whatever it is, just to make sure that the thing is self-perpetuating.
The biggest challenge the department has internally in management terms is making its internal management a serious administrative proposition. Secretary of State goes out, does the visibility stuff, negotiates, travels, puts on those 800,000 miles on the airplane. Deputy Secretary of State likes to do that too, so that deputy doesn't do it either. They appointed a second deputy for the first time at the beginning of the Obama administration for management and resources. But until recently, that hasn't been staffed by somebody who really took on the management and resource planning job. They really like to travel, too. So getting management seriously integrated into the State Department, making it part of the food chain, part of the thing that gets you promoted, part of the thing that's rewarded, that's a big challenge, still is, for the Department of State.
You're right. The new QDDR described a lot of what the State Department does now, made some of it look new, took a few small steps ahead, but punted on the big ones, which leaves the job to the next secretary and to the next QDDR if it happens. Do we even need another one, Gordon, if it's not going to be any more specific than you see this one being?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's interesting. This is only two exercises, so there's a lot of room for growth. I think it was General Eisenhower who once said, plans are nothing. Planning is everything. You know, that when you develop a plan and then you encounter reality, sometimes the plan is only suggestive and reality adapts in different ways. But the fact of thinking about planning for the long term is essential to being able to make choices about what you're going to do as you go through time. So the fact of planning is a good thing, even if the plans themselves are sometimes disappointing.
Gordon Adams, writing in Foreign Policy, democracy pushing is not cutting-edge foreign policy. It's terrific to have you back on the program, Gordon. Thanks for your time.
Great to be with you, Francis.